Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
All right, this morning we're just going to pray and jump right into this. Father, we thank you for what you are doing on planet Earth, because you're doing stuff, Lord, all the time. You never cease to be God at any second of history, God. And Lord, we are appointed to be here for such a time as this, God, to wake up to a call that you are clearly calling the church to be in this hour and in this day, Father. And we thank you for that as we go to your word. In Jesus' name, everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Well, we want to welcome you real quickly to the first of about the rest of the month. We're going to be doing the true horror stories. Everybody say, ooh, spooky, spooky. Now, we have the secular thing about Halloween and stuff that does it, but how many know that there is some stuff we ought to be afraid of? The Bible tells us that we as Christians don't walk in a spirit of fear, and I want to preface this to let you know that today's message is not to cause you to have fear, but to actually cause an awakening to the church. We are not to walk in fear of the world. The world is really actually, in a sense, is supposed to be afraid of us. Okay, now we don't want them to walk in fear, but we want to show them a holy fear of the Lord. But there are some horrific things that happen in our lifetime. Can you imagine how horrifying it is that some people are going to be blessed to be born on the earth, be blessed to be born in the United States, and they will live their whole entire life in this great nation of ours and never know the love of Jesus Christ? Their whole lifetime, they'll never know him. They'll never accept him. And they'll die, and they'll go to a horrible place called hell. Yeah. Amen. And the horror of that is they don't have to go.
That's right.
Amen? Amen? They don't have to go there. They choose to go there. God doesn't send anyone to hell. He honors your decisions. But what's equally as horrifying, I believe, and that's what I'm going to preach on today, is that in the times we're living in, people are going after their pleasures, their wealth, their success, and their comfort. Those four things. Everybody say pleasure, wealth, success, and comfort. And that's what people are going after today. And we would even say that's what the lost people do. But can I tell you, the lost world has infiltrated the church world with the same mentality? That's what a lot of most church people pursue over God. And so I want to give you something pretty much as horrifying as someone living their entire life and not knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior when they could. And the next horrifying thing that I can think of on earth is people who live and think they got saved or think they've got a relationship with Jesus to get before him and find out they were deceived. You want to talk about horrifying? When you get up there and he says, depart, I never knew you. And you go, but wait a minute. Hold on. They told me I was okay. I'm supposed to get in. So we're going to talk about that horrific time. And I got news for you. Put up the first note. Not everyone is going to heaven. I know that surprises us. We live in a time where, you know, you can't talk about this, you can't address it, because it might hurt somebody's feelings. And again, I'm not here to cause you fear or hurt your feelings, but I want you to know the truth. Because it's only the truth that can set you free.
Amen.
Can I have a better amen?
Amen.
Real quickly, Matthew, we're going to be going through Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, and then I'm going to read them to you, then we're going to go back and we're going to kind of go back through them step by step. But this is in the Word of God. It is Jesus Christ's own words. He's speaking his words here. These are what we call written in red words. So go ahead and put up Matthew chapter 7 real quickly, starting in verse 21. Jesus says, everybody say Jesus says. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, comma, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Next verse, verse 22, goes on and says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not, look at this, have we not prophesied in your name? We've cast out demons in your name, and we've done mighty wonders in your name. Yay for that. Then Jesus Christ follows that up and says this in this final verse, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Not only that, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Some of the saddest, that's outside of my personal saddest scripture was when Samson jumped up and thought he was walking with God, and he knew not that the Spirit of God had departed from him, the Bible says. He didn't know the presence of God was no longer with him. And it cost him his slavery, it cost him his eyesight and everything. Wow, I don't want you to end up like that. I want you to know, just because you open your mouth and say something, you got to live it. Amen. Go ahead and put up the next note real quickly. Lip service will not get you into heaven. You understand that? Just lip service alone doesn't qualify you to get into heaven. You can say anything, how much you love God, you can give your adorations, that does not get you into heaven. Are y'all okay? I hope you come back for the rest of this series, okay? Let's go back now. Everybody say, lip service won't get you there. Go back to verse 21 of Matthew 7. Again, the words of Jesus. Not everyone who, everybody say the next word with me, says. That's lip service. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. Do you know the devil refers to the Lord as Lord? Do you know demons will refer to the Lord as Lord? But they're not making it to heaven. In fact, they've been cast out. And they're waiting to be cast into a lake of fire. So not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who, say that next word with me, does. He who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now leave that up there. Notice you have the two things here, saying versus doing. It's right there in the scriptures. Not everyone who says the saying part, even Lord, Lord, is going to make it to heaven. It's only those who will do what they say that's going to come into my kingdom. You don't come in just because you say you belong or you believe. Well, it's going to be a quiet one today. Y'all feel free. Now, this is not the Apostle Paul's words. This is not, and it would be great if it was. It would still carry the same heaviness on it. But this is Jesus Christ, the one who we get saved to, through, and by, telling us, not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, is getting in, guys. Yep, this is him. This is the man. Yep. Amen? These people here, he's saying, you people here, you've got the right words, but you got the wrong heart. You've got the words, but you don't have my heart. These people have the language of the church. Come on. They can speak Christianese. So we've got the language of the church, but we don't have the kingdom. It's a whole difference. You can look like church, talk like church, attend church, and go to hell. Some of y'all are really. Oh, yeah. And in case you don't believe me, the Word of God backs it up. And one of the greatest American evangelists ever known, out of his own mouth, he said, what broke Billy Graham's heart was, he said, I'm afraid that probably upwards to 70 to 80% of the church will probably end up in hell. Because they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. They have the lip service, but they don't have the heart. Even in his own crusades, he said, I can't guarantee you everyone who walked to my altar and said they fell down on their knees is going to be in heaven. And we're going to talk about what it absolutely takes to get to heaven. And it's not perfection. Thank you, Lord. Because if it was, I'd still be going to hell myself. Because I've never been a perfect anything. I've never been a perfect man. I've never been a perfect husband. I've never been a perfect father. I've never been a perfect pastor, and I've never claimed to be. But I serve a perfect God.
Amen?
Amen? And that perfect God has made me better than I used to be on most days. Okay? I'm still subject to have a day myself. Wave at me if you're like that. Okay, good to know I'm not alone. Amen? But they knew the church, but they didn't live the life of the kingdom. Which was the message of Jesus Christ, was his Father's kingdom on earth as it was in heaven. So let me tell you some possibilities that may mess with your theology or your doctrine or your religion. Is you can be baptized and not go to heaven. That doesn't save you. Now, it's an outward sign that you supposedly have been saved. Oh, I'm going to get the emails. Just send them on. I love them. Because they don't bother me at all. You can be religious but not be redeemed. Oh, that's a big one there. And you can go to the church, but at the same time, you're not in Christ.
That's right.
Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13 says it like this. And again, and the Lord says, who says?
The Lord.
These people say they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote. Everybody say rote. R-O-T-E. They're man-made rules, and they're living a religious lifestyle in man-made rules that don't even know me. All they have is lip service. They sing the songs. They proclaim the scriptures, but they don't live them. Oh, good preaching, amen. Now, the reason I continue to carry this translation today is they use the word rote. Go ahead and put up the definition of rote in your notes. Rote means repetitions. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, rote can be good or it can be bad. It depends upon the person. How many know that sometimes repetitions are good? It's good to get in a good repetition of studying and being and having and doing the things of God. But if your repetitions are just in vain deceit of doing something and you think Jesus is going to do because you're just repetitious with it, that don't cut it with Jesus. The next thing is, it's just memorization. You've memorized to do something like a robot, been programmed. Now, we need to memorize scriptures. We need to know the word of God and be able to call it out. But if you're just memorizing it to have lip service, and there's no actions and deeds that bless someone around you with it, what have you really got? You got a good intellect through your memory. Congratulations. Hell will be full of those people. The next one says, rote means to just be in a routine. And a routine is good to have. If you're disciplined and it brings glory and honor to God and those around you. But if you're doing a routine just to punch a card and try to impress Jesus, he ain't impressed. He wants you there, not just in attendance. He wants you there in the Spirit of God. And then the last one means conditioning. And man, we have conditioned our churches today not to even realize Jesus is in the room to heal you. Jesus is in the room to save your marriage. Jesus is in a room to save your soul. Jesus is in a room to save your finances. Jesus is in a room to save any and everything that's going on in your life. And we just go through our routine. We memorize what the service is going to be like. Come on now. We've conditioned ourselves to walk in, get a little goosebump, and walk out without God really changing a thing about us.
Amen.
And God says, we got to go beyond that. He's went far beyond that. And we just need to catch up a little this morning. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Now, you've heard me say this. Just because I stand in my garage and I go vroom, 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 vroom. How many know I'm not a car?
Right.
Now, y'all know that, right? You can come to church, does not make you a Christian.
Amen.
Well, I go to church. Congratulations. And yeah, you should go to church. But what are you doing? Are you just going? Or are you being the church? Now, again, we love you to come, but we want the Word of God to impact you that when you leave out of here, you're still the church. Everywhere you go. Amen. All right, I got to move. We're going to go, but if we're going to put up a note, then we're going to go to verse 22. Go ahead and put up the next note. We do the work of God, but often we do it without knowing the God of the work. And this is where the good old Christianese language and doing the Christian good works and the good deeds and the works mentality comes in. Well, if I just do enough good, if I just help enough people, if I just give enough money, then God's got to accept me, right? And nothing's wrong with doing those things, but those things don't get you to heaven. It is Jesus Christ. Amen. And the reason you want to do those things is because it's the Jesus in you that wants to do those things. Yeah. And you're in harmony and unity with Jesus and His Word, and you do them out of a glad heart, not a punch the time card. Can I have a better amen? Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 22. Now again, this is Jesus. Everybody say, it's Jesus still. Many will say to me in that day, again, calling him Lord, Lord. Lord, Lord. Now watch this. We prophesied in your name. Woo, that's good stuff. We cast out demons in your name, and we done many wonders in your name. Now notice the first word. Say it with me. One, two, three. Say it loud. One, two, three. Many. This is Jesus speaking. He does not say a handful. He does not say just a few are going to do this. He says there's going to be many. Many means a lot. Many means probably, in our standards, many means more than half. Many means more than half. I don't know how much more than half, but 60, 70, maybe 80%. Many's going to say, man, I prophesied in your name. We did this. We built this. We did this. I did great signs and wonders in your name. Everybody say, that's good stuff. It's good stuff. Outwardly, you're impressive. Inwardly, you're empty. Now, you can get fulfilled because of the things you do and accomplish, and somebody gives you praise for doing it. And that'll get you through for a while, but that'll go empty too. Because you're not trying to fill your own self. Because when you get God and you get filled with His Spirit, you stay full. Yeah. I've never liked the term in my entire Christian walk with God as a Spirit-filled Christian. Oh, I'm Spirit-filled, hallelujah, on Sunday during the worship. But Sunday evening when something don't go right, I get Spirit-filled. And I'm void and empty of the Spirit till I get around other spiritual people and I want to look spiritual all of a sudden. The Spirit doesn't come just to fill you up. He comes to keep you topped off. And that's where not just having this as a toy or a dust cover or a piece of something when the preacher comes over, it looks holy on your nightstand or your dresser or wherever you're at in life. But you actually pick it up and you've got a relationship with the Word of Jesus Christ. Y'all okay? You're outwardly impressive, but inside you're empty. Put up the next note. Just real simple stuff today. Activity is not intimacy. Oh, I do this, and I do this, and I volunteer here, and I go feed this, and I go over here and do this. Wonderful stuff. Great humanitarian mindset and help, and you'll get some praise down here on earth. But that doesn't mean you're intimate with God. As a matter of fact, you can get so caught up in that you forget to be intimate with God. You forget to take time with just you and Him because you're busy. And sometimes busy means being under Satan's yoke, B-U-S-Y. Yeah. When you're too busy to spend the time with the God you say you're in love with, you're being under Satan's yoke. Y'all okay? In a lot of sections of the church today, we've used ministry to mask our lack of relationship with Jesus. Let me say that again. We've used ministry to mask our lack of relationship vertically with Jesus. Is that not what he's describing here? Oh, we're out here, man, I'm out here prophesying. I'm out here casting out devils. I'm out here doing signs, wonders, and miracles. And the Lord wants to say, hey, I want to spend some time. I ain't got time for you, God. I got to do your work. I ain't got time for you right now, Lord. Do you not know what needs to be done? I got to meet with architects and buildings, and that's taking forever. Lord, we got to go. I ain't got time to spend time with you in prayer today. Well, right. Could I show you a verse in the Bible a lot of people don't know is there? Never seen it before. It's actually hidden in 1 Corinthians, and it's in chapter 13, and it's verse 2. And it says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, and though I have all faith, man, check it out, and I could even remove mountains, but if I don't have love, I'm nothing. Oh, I can do all this stuff, and I can even call it a type of love, but it's not the agape unconditional love. It's a love that wants me to get the attention and the rewards for it while I'm on earth. Why do you think most people, and I'm not a totally against this, because sometimes people need to see the good that we're doing as Christians, but you don't have to take a picture of you helping someone every single time for your benefit. Oh, look what a work we're doing. Look what a work I'm doing. Now, people, again, it's a fine line. And really, the fine line is your attitude and heart. That's where the line is drawn. If it's for you to get a selfie and get some likes, and, oh, what a great ministry. Oh, well, look at what you're doing. You're just so wonderful. You're great. No, it's Jesus that's great and wonderful. Okay? That's in the Bible. Read it for yourself. It'll bless you. And see, it's not so much what all you do for God. It's, does God know your name? Don't boast in this. When they went out and cast out demons, he said, don't boast in that. Boast that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. You want to brag about something? Brag about, I am saved by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. That's what you brag about. And because of him, I get to do all this other stuff. I don't have to do it. I get to do it with a glad heart. But see, here's the thing. Go ahead and put it out. Let me just call it out what it is. Another short note. Go ahead. It's called the deception of self-righteousness. And that's running rampant. We think that our righteousness earns us a spot, that Jesus has got to put us through the pearly gates when we get up there, because look what I've done. And look what I've done. And I love this scripture, because it says, we've done it in the name of Jesus. I prophesy in the name of Jesus. I cast out demons in the name of Jesus. And I do great wonders and signs, miracles and wonders in the name of Jesus. Happens every day. Why? Because the name of Jesus, demons have to bow. Jesus works even coming out of a lost person's mouth. I have a man that stood here years ago, and I'm looking at bringing him back sometime, who was dead for a few hours and was raised from the dead. And went right back to his sinful life. And as he got his life out, he actually ended up leading two or three of his prostitutes to the Lord as a lost person. He was a pimp. That was one of his roles, was a pimp. And one of them was going to commit suicide. He pulls her off the ledge because she was fixing to leap off the building of the penthouse. He pulls her back inside, and he says, I don't even know where this came from. He had run from God his whole life, never served God, had a praying mama. Come on, mama was a spitfire prayer. I really didn't want to have him here. I really wanted to have his mama. Okay? I said, I really want. I'm like, you may be the miracle, but she the one that called it out. So he gets his prostitute off the balcony, and he says, I just begin to share the love of Jesus with her. And I led her in a prayer that led her to Christ. And then the other one says, I want that too. So he led her to Christ. He's not even saved. And then one of his drug buddies comes and says, what's going on? He says, I don't know. And the drug buddy says, well, if that's that good and I feel a presence here, I want it. He says, I think I do too. And so he prayed with him and another, and they got saved. Yes. But they were doing Jesus' name, and it was working. But it didn't mean they were going. And he had already been to a part of hell for a few minutes in his life. And came back and still didn't serve God. Yeah, it's awful. So this self-righteousness is just that. It is self-righteousness. Are y'all okay? And these people, they defend themselves and their attitudes by, look at all the good deeds I do. Look at all the work I'm doing. True salvation is not earned by works. Can I have an amen? It is evident in someone's life by the fruit they produce. Not the work, but the fruit. Now, there can be dry seasons. Fruit don't produce year-round most of the time. So there can be seasons when you look at their life and they're like, well, there's not a whole lot of fruit. But they're not drying up and withering away either. They're waiting for that next season. But where the climate is right, they can produce almost year round. Well, are y'all okay? As a matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says this, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God." Now watch this, "not of works, lest anyone should boast." So in other words, you don't get to boast in your works about you. You can boast about Jesus. Anytime someone gets saved, we say, celebrate Jesus. Look what he's done. It's not like what we've done, but look what God's done. Are y'all okay? As a matter of fact, I'm not here to bust your bubble this morning about your salvation. But the only true part you've ever had in your salvation, you want to know what it was? You had to repent, and you had to accept Jesus. And that's the only part you've ever had to do with it. You wasn't good enough to earn it. You ain't good enough to keep it. It is the grace and the mercy and the gratefulness of our God. Amen? The reason I'm stay saved is because I love him. And it's his work, not mine. But because of him, I don't want to do things that disappoint him. I don't want to do things that disappoint his word. There's no desire for that. And if it happens, I want the word to speak to me where I can repent and get over that and get right and never do it again. Not continue in my sin. Now, I want to show you a second verse a lot of people don't know is in the Bible. Not in 1 Corinthians, but in 2 Corinthians. Everybody say 2 Corinthians. One verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Now, watch this word of God. Examine. And if you're going to examine something, what do? You look it over. You check it out. You put it to a test, maybe. And the word of God says, examine. Not everybody else.
That's right.
Examine who? He says, examine yourself. Look yourself over. Check your fruit. Look yourself over to see if your faith is genuine. So that means if he's telling us to see if we've got genuine faith, that also means there can be fake, not authentic faith.
Right. Yeah.
That's not genuine. It's lip service. It's religion. And then he says, when you examine it, test yourself. And then I like this part. He says, surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. Everybody say among you. Now among you also, if you look it up in the Greek and the Hebrew, especially in the Greek, it denotes that this is something that's in you. Surely you know Jesus Christ is in you. You are the temple of the living God. Jesus Christ, the same spirit that raised him up, now dwells in you. So this among you doesn't mean among everybody else. It means among you, in you. Everybody got that? Surely you know that Jesus Christ is in you, among you. And if not, watch this, if he ain't, you have failed the test of genuine faith. Because listen, Jesus is not going to come live in you and allow you to continue in your old self. There ain't no way. Now, you may still have some habits you're dealing with or some hurts and some hang-ups, but Jesus in you is leading you away from that, not into it. Always. Always. Y'all okay? So examine yourself. Now, here's the thing about examining yourself you got to pay attention to. You got to examine yourself without lying to yourself. Here's how most Christians examine themselves. We will examine ourselves and then find somebody we know is doing it worse than we are, and then we'll compare ourselves to them. Well, I mean, the Lord, I know I'm still, I got saved 25 years ago, and I'm still struggling with that one same sin. But so-and-so over here, they're dealing with three sins. So I think I'm all right. Now, I'm not saying you can't be still struggling, but you should have some victory after 25 years of walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you haven't, you need to check where you're at. You need to examine and test. Why am I still dealing with this? If I have the living spirit of the living God, Jesus Christ himself, in me, to me, and through me. One of two things. I'm either denying the power of him or I'm not saved. One of the two, guys. And in either case, you need to authentically get saved and tap into the power of the Holy Spirit that overcomes anything Satan can ever throw at you. Man, it's quiet in here this morning. Welcome to the horror stories, the real ones. Amen? Hell is going to be full of people who never really knew Jesus. Hell's going to be full of people who don't know Jesus. Now listen to me now. On the same note, heaven is going to be filled with forgiven people who surrendered everything to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all that's going to fill heaven. It's people who have repented and surrendered their lifestyle, everything about them over to the Lordship of Jesus. He's not just your Savior, he's your Lord, which means he's master. He calls the shots of your life. He directs your attitude. He directs your mouth. He directs what you put in your body. I love y'all. Go ahead and put up the next note. The horror of hearing, I never knew you. I'm okay if some people on earth never know me. It's not going to make a difference in my life whatsoever if the president doesn't know me or a ruler of a nation doesn't know me or some of the big dogs of the high ministries never know who I am. I'm fine with that. But to hear the King of Kings say, I don't know you, that's a whole different story. As a matter of fact, I think I've told you all a few times, I have to check myself when I get around dignitary type people. And yes, every once in a while I am around them. I know y'all hard to believe. And I really have to watch the way I act because I always want to give them honor. And I don't ever want to be dishonorable, but at the same time, I have to pay attention. I have to directly make sure I'm in honor because it doesn't come natural to human to human. You know, if you met somebody who's a top musician or a top singer, you're just like, oh, we fawn all over them. And again, I want to honor them, but I don't go, oh. Why? Because in comparison to any person on earth, the greatest star, the greatest in ministry, the greatest in records and movie stars and all this, listen to me now. I have a personal one-on-one knowledge and relationship with the King of Kings. So I'm sorry if you don't impress me as much as he does. Now, if you've got a ministry gift, I will honor that, absolutely. Honor it, learn from it, sit under it, be with it, and bless it. But we go nuts and crazy over all this stuff, and hopefully if you can, y'all understand what I'm saying. I'm trying to be nice. It's okay to have people you look up to. But what do they represent? And don't get giddy over them if you can't get giddy over your king. All right, anyway, let's move on. Last verse. Matthew chapter 7, not the last verse, but it's the last verse in what we're studying. Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. Jesus says, and then I will declare to them, them is the many. There'll be many that hear this. He declares, again, we talked about, I never knew you. And he tells them this right here. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You used my name without my authority. You were not authorized to use my name, but you use it anyway. My name is so powerful, it works anyway. But you were doing it illegally. Wow. Now notice again, Jesus didn't say you stopped knowing about me. And I would declare to them, you had a little bit of me, but then you stopped knowing about me, so I guess you can't make it. No, he says you never knew him. You knew about him. Most of the world knows about Jesus in some form or fashion. So it's not just knowing about him, it is knowing him. Are you with me? The word there, knew, if you look it up, it talks about an intimate relationship. I never knew you as a son or a daughter. I never knew you as washed by the blood of the Lamb. I never knew you as an overcomer. To him who overcomes will inherit the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Yeah. Ask your neighbor if they still got a pulse. It wasn't ever about us not having some knowledge of him. It's him not knowing us. Don't make it about the wrong thing here. They were never truly his to begin with. That's why he told them to depart. Because if you ever become a part of him, you don't depart, you get every part of him. He holds nothing back from us. Y'all okay? So think for a minute the horror of you living your life, and because mom and dad saved, you think you're going to heaven because of them. Or I went down front during an emotional time, and I called upon the name of Jesus, and I got a goosebump, and then I got baptized, and then I haven't lived for Christ since. And I can't say what you really got, but if there's no fruit, you know what I mean? Well, you're judging. I'm not judging you whether you're going to heaven or hell. I'm telling you, if there's no fruit, you ain't what you say you are. And it's time to, church, not get in the judgment seat, but you better be able to judge a fruit. Someone comes up to me and says, hey, pastor, come on. It's party time. We're going to go out here and go down to the strip club with a bunch of guys and get drinking and get some whores. It's okay, honey. Do y'all think I need to make a judgment call on that? Come on. Was that a little too real for y'all? Because there's pastors doing it. I think I need to make a judgment call. I don't think that's of God. I mean, I'm not sure, but let me check the Bible. I don't find anywhere in here where the Lord wants me to go out, get drunk, and sleep with whores. I find in here where he says, don't get drunk and don't sleep with whores. So I better judge this and keep myself in the will of God. And you can put that to anything that goes against the word of God. So yes, we better set in judgment, not the judgment seat, but in judgment of the fruit that's around us. And the fruit that we have. You may not ever remember nothing else in this whole message, but you will remember that part. It's Case in here, because I'm sure he's going to be cutting that video clip out and sending it to somebody. In case y'all don't know, they take clips of my messages and they clip here and clip here and clip here, and I sound awful. They make me say all kind of funny, ungodly things. Thank God they don't put it on the internet, but. See, they didn't think I knew about it. So they know now I know about it. Are y'all okay? Seriously, touch your neighbor and ask them if they're okay. Somebody check on my wife real quick. But the horror of living a life and you think you're going to get something at the end, only to find out all you did was know about him and you never knew him. He never lived and dwelled inside you because you never truly let him in. Oh, hey, Kason, you are here. Make sure you get this for the day, man. Send it to me. Start adding me into your list you said to. I'll talk to you later about that. I'm glad he was here today. That's a blessing. That's the Lord, them being here today. Because all of our Highlands students are here this weekend because they just did a big expedition weekend and they get this Sunday off from their churches down there. At college, they have to serve in. So it's a blessing. They're here. Imagine God doing that today. Well, Shane asked me, he said, you want to lay hands on him? I don't think I'll lay hands. I want to throw some hands, okay? Nah, I'm just kidding. Hey, I'd do the same thing. Absolutely. All right. Everybody say, listen, about the Holy Ghost back. So what season are we in with America with everything going on? And not just America, but the world. And I really believe this, as I've been praying and seeking God in this, I believe there's a call going out right now for authentic salvation. Amen. Authentic salvation. Not church salvation, not religious salvation, authentic salvation by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen? Authentic. To where it is evident in your life that you're born again. There's the fruit. You act saved, you walk saved, you talk saved, you do saved things. You don't look like the world. You can be in the world, but you're not of the world. Go ahead, put up the next note real quickly. I told you I'd get you this. The remedy for false assurance is true repentance and surrender. That works every time. There has to be godly sorrow which leads to godly repentance. In other words, I repent from living the way I've been living. I repent from it. I'm turning and I am walking away from that life, that mindset, that attitude, that characters, and I'm walking into Jesus and his mindset, his attitude, and his character. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life staying right beside him as it rubs off on me and changes me and shapes me and molds me into the image of God. Religion says, I just don't want to go to hell. So I'll go to church when it's convenient. I'll listen to 2 worship songs a week, Lord. I'll pray when I'm in trouble. Expect you to do great things. But I'm still going to live the same old lifestyle, hurts, habits, and hang-ups I got up because I think they're self-justified. My friend, I cannot tell you how much danger you're in. I cannot tell you how much danger you're in. And it's not something to be playing with. You must be born again by the blood of Jesus. Salvation is not so much just believing in him and knowing about him. It's belonging to him. Do you belong to Jesus Christ? Yes. Is there evidence? Because, let me tell you, Jesus and the Word are one. Do you have any kind of appetite for scriptures outside of Sunday morning service? Do you have any kind of appetite inside you to worship him in your car? Is there any kind of appetite to talk with him on a daily basis and spend a little time with him? I'm talking about an appetite for it. Because you can tell by me, when I get hungry, I like to eat. Praise the Lord. Why? Because I got an appetite. Now, I do fast between every meal to make it scriptural. Thank you, Jesus. So you saying I got to be perfect? No, absolutely not. Someone touch you there and say, it ain't about perfection. Listen to me now, coin this. It's not about perfection, but it is about direction. It is about what direction is my life? What direction is my decisions heading me to? What direction is my attitude appealing to and people come to? Who's coming to your attitude? If you got a good attitude, people are going to be it's going to be appealing to them to get around you to be encouraged. If your attitude stinks, I said stinks and I didn't say sucks. Okay, baby, that's just for the notes. So if your attitude stinks, are you drawing other people who have stinking attitudes and y'all just gather up as the church of attitude? Because what you are is what you're gathering. Whew. So it's not perfection, but it's your direction. A life that is continually steadfast, consistent in pursuing God. And leaving everyone and everything else and anything else in a trail of dust behind you. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Then he, Jesus, said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him, now look at this, deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me what? Daily. Daily follow me. Not Sunday follow me. Everybody say daily. Real quickly, put up the definition of the word daily in the Hebrew and the Greek. The word daily is this right here. It means day. It means time. Now watch this. Particularly the time from one sunrise or sunset to the other. Now watch this. Equal to a day and a night. Now watch this. Everybody pay attention to the last part. A full 24-hour day. Not having a break from 9 to 10. Not having a nervous breakdown from the time you get off the work till you got to go back. But 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you take up your cross and you follow Jesus. And religion will allow you to have the breaks and the off time and things like that. But kingdom never stops. Kingdom is 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, baby. And it's a blast. Amen. I do have just two more scriptures. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Now, here we're talking about your assurance here now. Now, by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. Are you keeping his commandments? Man, them 10 are hard. Oh, there's more than 10. You need to read your Bible. It's much more than 10. Are you keeping his commandments? Let me say it like, are you trying to keep them? With a constant effort and a constant heart that's crying out. It's not about making sure you're in the law, but you're in grace, but you're doing your part to make it happen. Now we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Verse 4. He who says, I know him, and does not keep the commandments is a liar and the truth's not in him. Well, I love God. Well, the Bible says don't do this. Well, I don't care what the Bible says. I love God. I'm going to heaven just like I am. You're going to be one of those ones that gets up there and go, what do you mean? Uh-uh, you got to let me in. Oh, I'm coming in. You ain't stopping me. I really believe there's going to be people with that attitude. Look what I done. 2 weeks out of the year, I served you and helped some people. Let me in. Daily. Daily. Everybody say daily. Heaven and hell, the horrors of hell, need to become a shocking reality back in the church again. I'm all about revival of hoot and snoot and scout and get your goosebumps, and I love that stuff. But it's because there's a true heaven, and the reality, there's a true hell. And you will go there if you are not born again by the blood of Jesus Christ and live his life on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is not for the almost persuaded. Come on. But it's for the completely surrendered people. Can I have a better amen there? So don't let your church attendance, although we want you to have that, and the thing I like about people coming to church, if you're not saved, eventually it's going to rub off on you if you stick around long enough. So encourage everybody, yeah, but don't be fooled just because you come to church, you're good. You got to get saved. And then you got to be saved. And you got to belong to Christ, not just believe in him. You got to belong to him. Amen? So don't let your good heart, oh, I got a good heart. A lot of people do have a good heart that's going to go to hell. That's the sad part. I know some non-Christians that act better than Christian folks do. Especially some of the churchgoers. And some of y'all mean. That's why we're called sheep. Sheep will bite. But I know some great-hearted people. They just don't want to come to God. You don't know why they don't want to come to God? Because of the way the Christians act around them. That's what I hear. The biggest fault of most people not wanting to go to church and be around Christians. Well, my gosh, do you see how they act? And if they go in, I figure I got as good a shot as they do. Now, they may not be doing a great job, but if they're truly saved, they're working on it, and they're still going to heaven. It's time to stop playing church, stop pretending, and examine your heart. Amen? Again, the most horrifying words you'll ever hear in life is not this tragedy or that tragedy. It's the words, I never knew you. Depart. You worked with lawlessness. So make sure your faith is not just in your mouth today. Let's make sure our faith is not just in our mouth, but it comes out of our life. Amen? Stand to your feet while I read this last scripture to you. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth, everybody say, that's the mouth. That's the lip service. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, but you believe in your heart. See, it's not just about lips. It's about lips and mouth. It's about lips and heart. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart that God has raised him, Jesus Christ, from the dead. The Bible says you will be saved. Somebody say, that's good news. You will be saved. Now watch this, verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, not with your mouth. With your heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to your salvation. So you confess your salvation, not just on the day you got saved, but you confess your salvation any and every time you get a chance to. Your mouth wants to testify about the Lord that saved you. Are y'all okay? Bow your heads. Lord, this is a season we're in of October and Halloween and spooky and goosed and goblins and all kind of evil spirits. And well, that's every day though, God. We're surrounded by it, but we're also surrounded, the Bible says, by a great cloud of witnesses. The redeemed that's gone on before us. We're surrounded by a force of angels that are here to minister to us in warfare on our behalf. There's a whole spiritual realm, but it seems like this month we just celebrate the demons. But Lord, I'm saying today there's a heaven and there's a hell. And the true horror needs to come out. That I'm not afraid of ghosts. I'm not afraid of evil spirits. The most fearful thing that the whole world ought to be shaken in is to hear those words, "I never knew you." That's the scariest thing in any atmosphere, in any universe, on any planet, is to hear God Himself declare, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." But here's the good news, church. Listen to me today. No one has to hear that. No one will ever hear those words when you stand up there as a son or daughter of God. Even with your mistakes that you've made in the past, He'll look at you and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in and enjoy your eternal rest and salvation." My friends, if you don't know for sure you'd hear those words today, I would encourage you today to seek the Lord right now. One of the biggest tools that Satan enters into people right now during the times like this is to say, he's either telling you you're okay or you're too far gone, that God can't save you and you don't understand enough to be saved and it's not going to be real. I'm telling you, the Bible just said if you can believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that, number one, you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that He came to earth as a man and He died as a man for your sins because He knew you would never be able to pay for your own sins. No matter how bad or how good you are, you cannot pay for your own sins. And so He sent His Son to do that, and you acknowledge that, and you acknowledge that Jesus Christ was and is the Son of God. And it is through Him you surrender your life, you repent from your past sins, you surrender your life, and you ask Him to come in and be your Lord and Savior, and He will come in, guarantee you He'll come in. And then you just love Him and let Him love you. And you'll spend the rest of your life as a work in progress of becoming more like Him every day. But every time you call on Him, He's going to be there. But He will not lead you back into sin, and He will not lead you to sin in the future. He'll put a Holy Spirit in you. So if that's you today, and here's how we offer this. We offer you a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We don't want you to join church today. And well, what religion am I going to be? You're not going to be a religion. You're going to be a child, a son, a daughter of God. Okay? Don't worry about being religious. Just be saved as Christ says to be saved. If you're here this morning and that's you, just lift your hand up and say, "Today's my day." Heaven and hell's a reality, and I know it. Anybody in here? And I know we got 30 or 40, 50 people on vacation this morning, but don't let that hinder you. If you're watching online, send us a note if you made that decision. And come back next week because I'm going to be on a totally different subject, okay? Don't quit coming this month. This month may be one of the most important months you spend in church in years. So, Father, I thank You, Lord, today, God, that You are real. And I thank You heaven is real. And I thank You that when hell was developed, it wasn't even developed for us initially. But we chose to put ourselves in there. But, Lord, You love us. And as soon as we reach up, You reach out. You're already reaching out. We just got to reach up. So, Lord, I pray these words go home with everybody today, God. And if there is someone here that did not come to surrender to You today, Lord, I love them and You love them, and I pray that Your Holy Spirit will just show Yourself mighty to them in their dreams and in visions. Lord, just show them how much You love and died for them and how much their life could be even in this earth, God. And that the forgiveness is waiting on them, and the clean slate is waiting on them, God. And just keep them and watch over them, Lord. Because none of us are guaranteed to wake up even tomorrow. But Lord, we love you today, Father. And we bless your name right now. If you love the Lord, say, I love you, Jesus. I'm thankful for being saved. And I want to live it out loud for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give him praise.
Amen. Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.